And welcome. Thank you very much for joining me. Today we're going to talk about tefillah, prayer. We're not talking about the importance of prayer, because we all know how important it is to pray. But rather we're going to talk about the technicalities of prayer, and not in a halachic perspective, but rather in more of a Kabbalistic understanding of what prayer does. That's what the goal over here. Now, as many of you do know, that I like to use science or quantum mechanics to understand that there's a lot of similarities between what they're finding, what they found over the past 50, 60 years, and what we find in Kabbalah. Because the Kabbalah talks about all and light and dissemination of light, and they also talk about in the subatomic areas, also of talking about light and protons and photons and so on and so forth. So we can learn quite a bit of what's going on. And let me give you an example of this, which is a prime example. Now, in order for you to understand exactly what tefillah does, what does a prayer do for somebody else, and what prayer, like we said, is everywhere in Yiddishkeit, we have to understand the end of all things, that we know that everything is light, right? All came along, that created this situation of this reality of the world. And as Kabbalah, the Arizal explains to us in various different places, it is not only something that reflects and therefore you're able to come into a dark room and see, but rather it is the thing that you are, that everything is, the reality is actually light. Everything that we see is actually something which is megushim, something that has become materialized, light materialized. That's what it's all about. That's what Kabbalah explains to us. Now, in 1908, somebody called Thomas Young made a very bold claim that light, the nature of light, is a wave function. Now, to understand that statement, light is a wave function, let's go back a step. Let's understand what waves are as opposed to particles. Let me explain myself. Now, let's take a wave. Now, how do you create a wave? You go to a pond, a still pond, and you drop a stone, and therefore you create waves. Now, if you to drop two stones in that same pond, that what would happen is that the waves bump into each other. They bump into each other. So you have the waves interfering one in another. That's called an interference pattern. So the waves won't be, as we see it, a wave after a wave, but rather a wave hitting a wave, there will be an interference pattern. Let's keep that in mind. Now, you could look at light that way. You can look at light moves in a wave pattern. Or do we look at it as we see it as particles? And what do we mean by particles? Particles, we mean like dust particles or sand. Sand is a particle. Little bits, we see them separate, not as a flowing mass, but rather as bits and pieces, like molecules. Okay, so he decided, this Thomas Young in 1803 decided to make an experiment called the famous double split experiment. Let me explain to you what he did over here. He took a piece of paper and made two slits in it. He took some sunlight, he shined the sunlight over just one of the slits because he covered the other one, and he saw on the wall, which was reflecting the light, he saw that it was all scattered over the light, you can do this experiment by in your house as well. Take a piece of paper, make a slit, put a flashlight just on that split, and on the back side of it, where the wall is, you'll see that it's all, the light is diffracted. It's called the light is diffracted. You don't just see the slit of light, but it's diffracted. So what he did then is he uncovered the other slit. Now you have two slits, put the light, that means the sunlight went through, and what would you expect? Two slits of light on the wall, but rather he saw a slit of light, dark, slit of light, dark, slit of light, dark. A pattern, which is similar if you to do the exact same experiment with water, creating a wave, going through the two slits, you'd see that they would create what's called an interference pattern with the waves, and that would create this point of impression, dark, light, dark, light, dark, light, on the back of a wall. So he saw from there that light is works, or the nature of light is like waves. Like waves. In 1905, somebody famous came along, a Yid called Albert Einstein, and he published a famous paper called The Theory of Special Relativity. And there he proved the opposite. He proved that light works in a way of particles. So let's take the same experiment. And what you're going to be doing with that experiment is that you're going to be throwing particles of light. You know, they devised this special machine throwing out what's called protons, or photons, sorry. Photons or electrons. All part of that, throwing photons and protons, all part of that nucleus of the molecule. And they were able to throw it through this double split contraction that they have, and on the back where they had a photostatic background where they can see the impression of light, they can see that the particles would come as a split, as a slit, as a straight line. They did it to both, and what they saw over there is what he found, Thomas Young found in 100 years before that. He found that there was an interference pattern. So they had a little bit of a contradiction over there, because in one way, when they threw the photons through this slit, they found that it worked at particles. It really just came out on the backside, on the wall, as light, as in the shape of a slit. When they opened up both slits, they found it worked like a wave. So is light, the nature of light, is it particles? Does it work like particles? Like as if you were to throw marbles through a slit, that's the expectation you would see. Or does it work like waves, which you would see a different result? So we see from that experiment that it worked in both. It worked as both. To make it things weirder, they had actually devices installed in order to make sure that, or not make sure, but rather to measure or observe where the photons were actually going through which slit. And they found by observing the photons going through the very slits, they found out that the photons would change according to the observation. So when the observation machines were there, they found out that the photons, they acted as if they were particles. That means as if you were to throw marbles through a slit, you would see the dents in the wall as a slit, the shape of a slit. Well, as soon as they removed these measuring devices, observation devices, these videos that they were photographing what was going on, they found that it was working like a wave function with the patterns of interference. So you would find a slit of light, slit of shade, a slit of light, slit of shade, and so on and so forth, like waves. Very strange. So we saw what we can see from there, and what scientists saw from there, that the fact that you're observing protons, and protons is just lights, right? Granules of light, let's look at it that way, that affects the light. Now that notion is priceless, because let's think about what we are, as we all know, and as Kabbalah teaches us, that we are only light. Because we know at the beginning, the Arizal tells us and the Zohar tells us that everything was created with the All and Sof, with the infinite light. And as it came through the various universes, various filters, it became more and more megushim, more and more materialized, until this whole world was realized. The reality of the world is really solidified light, isn't it? So if you look in that context, that everything is light. And through this experiment, what we see, that observation, that an observer can affect light to give out two different results. And that example would be either an interference pattern or not an interference pattern, depending on whether you're looking at it or not. We can see from that the power of influence of an observer, and even more so if somebody is actively participating in manipulating the light. And how do we manipulate light? We manipulate light by the frequency of our voices. Voice emanates frequencies which can manipulate light, right? Especially if you look at light as particles, or even if you look at it as waves, the waves which are created through the sound waves which is created from the mouth will affect other light waves and so on and so forth. Therefore, in a nutshell, by praying, which is a tool given to us, which is taught to us by our forefathers, obviously it was Siyat Shvai, they had special inspiration, that affects light. And light is, as we said, the reality. So in short, somebody wants to change the reality, they pray. What does praying do? Is it just asking for more? That you want more money, you want this, you want that? Not only a bakasha. Hashem has put us on this world and give us the memshola, the reign of this world. We are reigning this world. And by how do we take charge of the world? We manipulate the world according to how we want things to happen. And where a person wants to go, Hashem takes them. And how's that done? By praying. The fact that you're praying will manipulate the future outcomes of where you're going and what you want to manifest in your life. This manifestation will happen through your direct prayer, which we said technically is a manipulation of frequencies of light, and light being all of reality. Well, there we go. I hope that was a little bit insightful. And if you don't understand everything that I've said, please replay the video. And if still not, please leave comments below, and Blina, I'll try to get back to you with some more explanation. Thank you for listening.